Welcome, welcome, welcome to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the city manager of City of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. Thanks again for tuning in, clicking on, for watching the show. Thanks again for the comments between shows, between segments, and the feedback. So always appreciate that. Today we have another great show for you. We are going to welcome to the show Mr. Calvin Davis. Welcome, Mr. Davis. And we are going to welcome to the show Miss Regina Davis. No relationship. So
thank you.
Say hello to the listeners.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for listening.
All right. And to Mr. Davis, say hello.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be back on.
Excellent. Well, I think we need to increase your sound a little bit, Mr. Davis, so that we can hear you. So we are talking today about three things. We'll have a short break in between, but we are here to talk about the upcoming opening of our farmers market. Yay! And we're going to talk about the successful cleanup and some of the debriefing from our first of four Saturday cleanups. And we'll come back then and talk about our roads. So, and I think we'll do a few small business highlights as well. So let's go ahead and get started with the farmers market. So welcome to the show, Ms. Davis, and I'm excited to hear and for you to share what you have in store with the farmers market this year.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm so very excited to be able to share what we have going on this year. To start with, we actually do have our grand opening, which will be this Friday from 10 until 2. We're going to have a few vendors with us, and as the market season increases, we'll be able to add more and more market vendors for fresh fruits and vegetables. We will be taking the bridge card and double up food buck programs with the city anyways, probably like in July, but all the other farmers that are able to take all of the bridge cards and double up food buck programs. We're going to expect on Friday, especially rain permitting, we're there actually if it rains or if it's sunny outside, we'll be there. We're hoping to have, we're going to have music. So the Muskegon Heights band, they're going to come by and play a couple of songs for us. We're going to have some karaoke and then just regular music. In addition, we will have face painting for the kids. We want to make sure that it's kid friendly, of course, this year. So we have lots of things throughout the year planned for the kids. Let me see, what else do we have going on Friday? Snow cones. Hopefully we may be able to have that throughout the season. All that for the kids and adults alike. Gosh, let's see. There's so much.
I was going to say snow cones for the kids. I want to give you some snow cones. So
for the kids and the kids at heart, right? We're all kids at heart.
Yeah. No age limit on the snow cones.
No age limit on the snow cones. We're gonna do some face painting as well. So we're just in for a great time, hoping that everyone comes out and support. We had, I thought, wonderful support last year. We're just getting started a little bit earlier on time this year, which is very exciting. We've partnered with quite a few people this year. To start, I just actually Reed Muskegon wanted me to definitely name drop them. We're working to do some things with the kids throughout the summer, as well as the bookmobile. They will be in June 10th. And from June 10th, every other week, kids will be able to check out books. We're going to have story time, some book giveaways, different prizes, kind of read programs. And in addition, we'll have the Hackley Community Care Mobile Bus actually begin in July 22nd, and then July 29th. They're just going to be doing regular health screenings. The COVID shot will be available, blood pressure checks, stress tests. So come on down and, you know, enjoy.
So it sounds like it's more than just fruits and vegetables. It sounds like what you have in store for us this year in the farmers market is more of a community experience.
Absolutely. We want to really work on bringing a lot of the resources in the community right to the market so that we we're just going to be disseminating just a lot of resources and people joining us throughout. Some of the things we're going to be, some of the kids are actually going to join us this year as vendors. They're working with the Muskegon Heights School. There's with the Y, we're working with them to be able to, they're growing fruits and vegetables right now. And so they're going to bring all their things over to the market and sell them. I anticipate that'll be like the end of June, July. So yes, a community event.
That is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And you mentioned Reed Muskegon. Does that involve their new family empowerment program too?
Yes, we're working to however we can get. They work with families as we're, you know, wanting to work with them with their families. They have a certain age group of kids with specific programs that they have there. But they're even going to collaborate with the Bookmobile just to do story time and to be able to read with kids. We have a lot of things to give away for kids, and it's kind of filling the gaps even like throughout the summer. And one of the other things I forgot to talk about was that we are partnering also with the Kids Food Basket. They are going to be providing food.
We're losing you on the camera there. There you go.
I didn't know I was on camera. I'm sorry.
So
we're going to partner with the Food Basket, and they are bringing food on Fridays and hope to get through, you know, like the weekends. And we're going to do a little bit more food giveaway so that it kind of helps ease the burden, so to speak, you know, when kids are home from school with every prices going up and all that, and it's healthy things. So we're looking forward to that collaboration.
What I really appreciated that you were able to do this past year, even with an abbreviated farmers market, was get kids involved. It was wonderful to be able to see kids coming in there to the farmers market looking for fresh fruits and vegetables. Because I think if we can establish that with our young people, with the youth, then that is going to have the impacts long range on the health of our community.
Absolutely.
So
we even took requests.
What's that? Say that again.
We even took requests from kids last year. I think there was something that they didn't see. It could have been blueberries or something at that particular week. The next week they came back. Mm-hmm. Yep, and they got their blueberries.
And my kids are blueberry fiends, so they'll sit there and eat 4 and 5 boxes of blueberries straight. So I can appreciate that. So when is the farmers market starting? Let's repeat that.
It's going to be on Friday, and every Friday from May 27th through October 28th, and we'll be there from 10 until 2. We're also going to have some opportunities throughout the season to have a few pop-ups. So look for that. Make sure that you check us out, like on our Facebook page. It is Heights City Market as we're reaching new heights. Also on our city's webpage or on our webpage for the city of Muskegon Heights. Look there for information as well.
Okay, so let me repeat that. Every Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
Yep.
And if you didn't get a chance to come out to the farmers market last year, the farmers market has had a facelift. We have done some things to spruce it up. And so it is a much more enjoyable experience, even though the people and the community are the same. It's nice to be able to put a coat of paint on the farmers market to show how much that we care about the farmers market and how much we care about the community, to be able to make that experience and that exchange much more memorable. So please come on out, check us out at the farmers market. You'll see a new blacktop, you'll see new striping, you'll see revamped booths. And so all those are part of the facelift that the farmers, a new sign as well. So all nice touch-ups that were done courtesy of CDBG and their the investment in the community from that fund. So, you know, last year I think was a huge success. I'm looking forward to this year with all the additional things that you're adding. And if you wouldn't mind, talk about some of the things that you're doing to engage some of the other vendors. I know you had said that you had done some reconnaissance and research at other farmers markets and the possibility of bringing some of those vendors to Muskegon Heights.
Yes, we do actually have a few of those vendors. They're going to join our market on Fridays. In order for a vendor to come, the price is $10 the very first week. It's an increased price as we'll have t-shirts available, and the t-shirts I believe are $12, so it'll be an additional $12-13 I think at most on top of that first week. Mm-hmm. And then every week after that it's going to be $10 for them. We're actually wanting to make sure that we add things where we're not that we're so not so much of the same things at the market. So really excited about someone. I forgot the name of his business, but he has he's going to be growing things where we can add to our dishes, like, you know, the basils and the all the different spices and things like that that'll actually help our community in terms of high blood pressure, making those numbers decrease. So that's the focus also. So when we say health, it really is focused on the health, the things that plague our communities, and hoping to bring some of those things to the market so that you can actually add that. And we're going to be sharing recipes, simple recipes, everything that's going to be at the market. You're going to be able to purchase it for these particular recipes and then just add these additional things that help us combat, you know, like high blood pressure and diabetes and things like that. So, but we'll be able to talk a lot more about that, like when the health bus actually comes by.
Great. I know we're talking about looking at ways that we can serve the seniors with possibly providing transportation for those seniors that's too far for them to walk and don't have transportation to be able to schedule that out Friday. So that'll be an excellent enhancement to the market. Now, you mentioned bucks, double up bucks. Is there assistance for seniors at the farmer's market?
So we do have tokens that we're actually giving the seniors this year. And so there are specific tokens for seniors that they're able to double up on some of their food as well, some of their produce.
Okay. Is that different than the double up bucks, or is that the same thing?
So it's a little bit different than the double up bucks, but they're able to use. So we're going to have, there's going to be a market navigator there. And so there's going to be an entire education on how to maximize your dollars so that you're able to get more and more fresh fruits. And so people that have bridge cards, that is part of the double up food program. So they bring their cards. They're going to be given another card, like with the veggie van, and that's how they're able to double up on their bucks. So it's up to, I believe it's $40. So let's say they do the 20 and then it's up to $40 to double up to 40.
So if you spend $20, you'll be able to buy $40 worth 20. Of.
Yes.
Up to $40.
Yep.
Okay. An additional 20.
But we want people to make sure that they come and bring their bridge card so that we can help them, be able to access and understand what their dollars are, because those dollars are very powerful as well. And so I think those dollars will go a lot longer way with the market as opposed to some of the other stores when we're talking about fresh fruits.
Great. That's fantastic. And you said a market navigator. Is that a person or a kiosk?
It is a person. Okay. Yes, it's actually a person. And it's Amy with the veggie van. Mm-hmm. And so she actually goes around to the different markets and she helps you navigate throughout all the things that you may have, like all those extra, the double up bucks. We're also going to do market tours. So as we're doing the tours, we'll be able to go to each vendor and see how they're able to maximize their dollars.
Okay, that's fantastic. And if you're listening and you believe in the concept of farmers markets and the concept of fresh fruits and vegetables in a community that is effectively a food desert. We welcome you to be part of this initiative. A lot of what we're doing is made possible through grants and donations. So if you're listening and you would like to make a contribution to help us expand the program that we offer to seniors, expand the program to so that we can offer more to those that are financially distressed, we welcome your participation through grants or donations. So if people want to make a contribution or grant, how can they reach you, Ms. Davis, in order to make that happen?
So my email actually would be rdavis@muskegonheights.org, and my phone number is 616-516-0369. And thank you for mentioning the people wanting, if they want to donate. So we do have Friends of the Market, and then that's separate from our people who are collaborating and partnering with us. That's more of organizations.
Excellent. You said rdavis@muskegonheights.us, right?
I did. I hope I said that. I could have said .org. Right. I apologize.
Right.
But it's .us. Thank you.
You're welcome. RD as in Delta, A as in Alpha, V as in Victor, I as in India, S as in Sierra, at MuskegonHeights.us.
Yes. Right.
So we want to make sure that there's no confusion so that people, if they want to make a contribution, they want to give, that they don't get lost in email purgatory. So
yes, but I'll also come and find a lot of people too. So I'm actually combing through the neighborhood. So
mm-hmm.
this and is a good way to introduce me.
One of our listeners, Maricela Sierra, mentioned that she saw you at the Muskegon Market. So there is evidence.
Yes.
And I have to say, your energy, your go-get-it-ness, if I can use that turn of phrase, is excellent. I really appreciate the energy that you bring to Muskegon Heights and the energy that you bring to the farmers market. You're doing an outstanding job to keep up the work.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
The community is wonderful to work with, so thank you.
Absolutely. So if you have any questions about the farmers market, you know how to reach Ms. Davis. One thing that I want to mention in the month of August, which is connected to the farmers market, every Friday we finish the farmers market at 2, and at 4:30 we pick up with the street festival on Broadway, because the streets will be blocked off from Peck into Baker, and you'll be able to get food, beverages, and music as part of the Friday Night Live Street Fest on Broadway. And so that is a segue from the farmers market on Friday. So you can plan on coming to get your fresh fruits and vegetables, kids entertainment, to the happy hour street festival. And then at the end of the street festival, we'll have movies in the park. So bring out the gigantic screen in Rowan Park and have family friendly movies. So we plan a whole day of activities. You can plan on doing the whole thing from farmers market to movie, or you can plug in at the farmers market, come back for the movies, or you can come for the street festival and then the movies, or just the street festival. So all kinds of choices for you, all kinds of options for you to be able to enjoy the beautiful downtown of Muskegon Heights. And so we want you to come down. We want to show the community an opportunity to enjoy public space. That was part of the survey feedback that we got from the visioning plan. And so these events and these activities from the farmers market all the way through to the movies in the park are the city of Muskegon Heights offering chances for people to enjoy public space. And if we do this, you will see the value of our downtown area. And I know some people say, well, you know, we need to fix the streets first, but we can enjoy each other's company. We can enjoy good food and music before the streets are fixed. And as a matter of fact, as a result of that, I think people will see a chance to open up their businesses in our downtown district when they see the number of people who are interested in coming into our downtown. We have one of the only intact downtown districts in the West Shore. on the lakeside. And so I know City of Muskegon is doing a great job in creating their downtown, but we have a historical downtown that's intact. And so we need to take advantage of that. And I'm glad that the farmers market is an important part of opening that up and making that happen this summer here in Muskegon Heights. So thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. And thank you for the comments. Okay. If you want to stay on, you're welcome to. We're going to transition here to a conversation with our resident code enforcement subpoena officer, also Mr. Davis, and talk about the wonderful event that happened this past Saturday as part of the cleanup. So if you wouldn't mind giving us an overview of the cleanup program, you know, some of the partners that are involved, and then we can talk a little bit about what happened this past weekend.
So our committee that came to the table to help facilitate the cleanup consists of multiple entities and organizations throughout the county, and some of those partners are the Muskegon Community Foundation, United Way, local businesses, and also community organizations that have a longstanding history of supporting what we do here in the city of Muskegon Heights. As a result of it, we came together to facilitate a citywide cleanup that consists of four different dates where we have planned to zone the city off and do a concerted effort throughout the city to clean up identified locations throughout the city. On Saturday, last Saturday, the 21st, it was our kickoff event. And it was, to our pleasant surprise, at about 7:30, we had our citizens in the community descending on our parking lot here at City Hall. It was a long line of citizens in terms of here to take advantage of some of the giveaways that we had. Here we were offering leaf bags to the citizens, and so that they could go out and, you know, get a start on cleaning up the yards and those things. We also had shrubs, flowers, and rose bushes that were given away, mulch, and dirt. And so we had a wonderful turnout, and it was good to see everyone pulling together and doing everything that we could to make an impact. And we had cars riding down the street honking their horns. We had individual citizens coming out and pitching in. We had several citizens pitch in to help with the actual cleanup efforts. I'd like to say for all of our giveaways, we totally ran out of everything we had. They were donations that were given to us. And though all of those were exhausted on Saturday. In many regards, we believe it was a great impact and a success across the board.
So, just for some of our listeners that may not have been aware of the program and project, this is part of a larger Fight the Blight campaign that was started by staff at the city. Beautify the Heights, Fight the Blight. And you may have seen the billboards that are up and the yard signs that are out. And we have been talking about this since probably January, February, that this year that we are going to do a full court press campaign to improve the way that our community looks, to beautify, not just fight the blight, but also beautify the community. And so when Mr. Morrow and Mr. Davis got together to take the lead on this and jumped out there with the initiative, they pulled together this coalition of groups that you mentioned, Mr. Davis. And I think the Coalition for Community Development was one of those organizations. We had neighborhood associations that got involved and started meeting on a regular basis to plan this out. And out of the meetings came this opportunity for us to get these donations.
Absolutely.
So some of the dirt was donated, right?
Yes, sir.
The mulch. All right.
Yeah.
What else was donated? Was it
rose bushes, shrubs, and flowers?
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. And the idea behind these donations wasn't to be able to blanket the entire community, but to give some incentive for people to get started.
And absolutely.
It was just a catalyst, right?
Absolutely. A seed, yeah. A small seed at that.
Right. Because we know the city doesn't have the funding to be able to purchase all of this and be able to blanket the whole community. And we're really appreciative of those community partners that were willing to step up and donate these things to be able to offer some incentive for people to get started, not to complete the whole project, but like you said, a seed that could be planted and nourished,
yes, sir.
Fertilized and cultivated, right?
Absolutely. You know, with anything you do, you look to have as much of a positive impact as you can. And this is just our way for our citizens and our community to see that we are willing to do our part, that we're willing to step outside of what some may consider the norm and go that extra mile and say, hey, we appreciate you. We see you. We see your heart. And, you know, we want to do something to show our appreciation towards you and what you do, you know, here in the city. So, you know, with that spirit, you know, that's why these efforts were made.
And I think that is huge for our community. We don't have a lot of resources. We have limited funding. And so what we have to do is be creative. We have to be innovative. I know the hearts of our staff and our employees is to be able to do so much more.
Sure.
Today, you know, we're not in a position to do that, but that's on the horizon. It may not be tomorrow or the next day, but down the road, we will be a community that has the resources to be able to do much more than this planting the seed and this catalyst of change. But it's a start. And
yes,
I know
sir.
From some of the feedback, and maybe you've gotten feedback as well, and feel free to talk about it, that they wished we could have done more. Maybe they didn't realize that what we were working with was innovative in that we were even able to get those donations provided. And I have to clap my hands for Andrew from the Reforestation Project.
Yes.
I think I got that right.
Yes, sir.
Because he was able to get the bulk of these donations just based on his relationships out there in the community. And so that was huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things about the donations is that, you know, we live in a day and era where those who have the heart to assist, one of the things that they want to know is that we're going to be good stewards over what we're given. So mm-hmm. This has opened up dialogue about receiving similar donations going forward based on what we were able to do just last week. There's a saying, despise not the day of small beginnings. With that being said, it was our intent for people to see the heart of this community, to see the heart of the folks that work here in City Hall. And as a result, we're going to be able to reap the harvest one day.
Beautiful. And I think you also had some food donations, too, for the workers.
Yeah. Got to give a shout out to Little Caesars, Trevor. On Henry Street, he fared our volunteers. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the owner there, and they stepped up to the plate, and they were able to make sure that we were able to feed our volunteers and make sure that they didn't go hungry while they were out working. So definitely, it's exciting to see the momentum building and to see that, you know, if we all do our part, you know, with everything that you do, one of the things that we discussed early on is that we understood that we were going to have to make some adjustments from cleanup to cleanup based on what worked, what didn't work.
Right.
you know, and all of those things. And so we're going to be coming back to the table here in about a week or so, discussing the pros and cons, making some adjustments where we can, and then getting right back in the fight.
So on that note, let me ask you this. Some of the feedback that I got was some of the residents would have liked for the dirt to be in bags.
Sure.
Is that something, you know, is there a reason why it wasn't in bags? Is that something that's possible, or is that going to require us to expend even more resources than what we have?
So considering we're working with donations and limited resources, one of the things that you have to do is be appreciative of what you're given. And so this was given in bulk. Mm-hmm. So it was not something that we requested, saying, hey, we'd like it in this form. We took what was available to us.
Right.
And then we saw an avenue to be able to distribute it to our community. Mm-hmm. So it was no way intended to make it difficult for individuals. It's just that it's the form in which we received it. Now, in order for us to go that extra mile to put it in bags ourselves, based on what you opened up with, we are a city with limited resources. Right. That takes manpower. Mm-hmm. And with that manpower, one of the things that we were hoping is that we could get community involvement, that we could get individuals to come to assist. But what I did see, Mr. Bell, is that there were citizens who were in line waiting for their turn, who was willing to go the extra mile of the way, who picked up the shovels and assisted those individuals who could not do that for themselves. And that's the spirit of Muskegon Hikes. That's we all pitch in there.
Right.
You know, where it is that we welcome feedback. Mm-hmm. We welcome constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. What it's really going to take at this moment is that individuals have open hearts and ready hands.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Ready hands.
Yeah. If we get that from our community, we'd be able to take this Fight the Blight campaign and shoot it out of the stratosphere.
And even though we might not have the resources of the wealthier or richer cities or more affluent cities, we have the will and the tenacity to be able to make it happen. I mean, that's our biggest resource.
Yes,
is
sir.
The ready hearts and ready hands of the community. We can make it happen without all of the bells and whistles if we come together and work together.
Yeah, it's going to take effort from everyone. You know, one of the things that really charged myself and Mr. Morrill with this particular initiative is because there is so much rhetoric about what we're doing and what we're not doing. It's the season where if we can conversate, in my humble opinion, we can conversate. But how about we work while we're conversating? How about we actually put something into action? And that's what myself and Mr. Morrill wanted to do, is that while we're having these tough conversations, mm-hmm. that we do something other than just, you know, have an opinion.
Great. Well, I would love to be able to show the community some of the pictures, the photographs from, I believe that you took some, if not before and after pictures, but some at least in action pictures. And so,
yes, sir. We certainly have many pictures that we can get to you, get in your hands. We can put it on our social media sites, and we've got to pull those together. We have some here with our staff, but we also have some from some of the other organizations.
Right.
And we can bubble that up and send it out electronically so that the community can see the actual imprint, because there was one made across the board in every section of the city, which is remarkable considering the resources.
Right. And I want to clarify, because there was some question about this. This is all volunteer driven. I mean, even the staff that you saw out there, down at DPW, those staff members were volunteering their time. And so this was all volunteer work. This wasn't folks getting paid to do the work and on the clock. So what you were getting was the goodness of people's hearts because of the care and concern and love for the community. So I think sometimes we think because we work for the city that when we're doing these things that we're on the clock, and because we're on the clock that we're supposed to do X, Y, and Z to the satisfaction of everybody. But when you're volunteering your time, I mean, it's a whole different standard that we're talking about. And I appreciate our employees and you and Mr. Morrow stepping up to do this kind of work because of out of the goodness of your heart, not asking for a paycheck. And along with all of the other volunteers that came from all over the community and even outside the community to be able to make our community just that much better.
Yeah, it was certainly heartwarming to see those individuals who had a heart for what we were attempting to do. One of the things that we must do, all of us, if we're going to make an impact, an imprint, a difference, we have to influence those whom we have influence with. It'd be nice to see our community to influence one another to get behind this initiative to help clean our city up. If we all do our part, certainly it'll go a lot further.
Well, at this point, I want to take a short break. And when we come back, I want you to talk about who the sector captains were and talk about when the next cleanups are going to be held, what the locations are for each of the captains to be able to congregate and disseminate what the plan for that day is. So we'll talk about that when we come back for the break here in a couple of minutes. And for now, thank you for being tuned in to Reaching New Heights, and we'll see you in just a few minutes.
When smoking gives you COPD, you learn to lie a little bit. You make up excuses like, I have to get my keys. You guys go on. Anything so you can walk at your own pace. I used to do that all the time. Those lies don't work anymore. My tip is, the worst lies are the lies you tell yourself. Like smoking isn't that dangerous.
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.
As an Olympic athlete, I prepare for everything. So when I became pregnant, I thought I was ready. But at 32 weeks, I was diagnosed with severe preeclampsia and had an emergency C-section. Looking back, had I known the warning signs, I would have talked to my doctor sooner. Too many women die of pregnancy-related complications, and most are preventable. If you or someone you know is pregnant or recently had a baby, learn the warning signs. It could help save her life. Hear her.
All right. Welcome back to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the city manager, city of Muskegon Heights. And so, Mr. Davis, you had many volunteers, but you also had what you called quadrant captains, I think it was.
Yes, sir.
Community captains. So those are our volunteer extraordinaires that not only agreed to give of their time freely, but to take a leadership role. So who were those individuals?
So we had Michelle Tyson, who took on the zone captain hat for the east side, where they were able to start cleaning up a very significant part of what we consider East Park Manor, right outside of East Park Manor there on Superior and Hume. And she had a wonderful array of young people out there who were enthusiastic and came out with some additional volunteers who wanted to actually volunteer specifically in that location. They actually requested to be there. And so they've gotten off to a good start, got several fields, lots, trees, branches, manicured, maintenanced. And those young people did a remarkable job.
Excellent. Who else did you have?
We had Kaya Thornton from
Us Cafe.
From Us Cafe. And she had her team. Yeah, Overcoming Bears. She had her team, which was zone or quadrant three, which is the west side of the city.
Okay.
And she had those folks out there, those volunteers.
Where did they meet in zone?
Yeah, they met at MAP Church. there, and they were able to cling from Map Church going south on both Peck and Sanford, along the terrace, along the curbside, as well as to cut and manicure the large lot on the corner of Sanford and Sherman. And they made a big imprint there. And, you know, it was, what's that?
Who was next?
The next person is, I'm saying sister because I'm thinking church, but Contessa Hood.
Okay.
She was up in the Woodcliff area.
Okay.
On that southeast side of the city.
Where did they meet?
They met at Johnny O'Hare's Park.
Okay.
And they were there with their volunteers, and they were a strong group of individuals. They rocked it out. They were like rock stars. It looked wonderful down there. The volunteers were all in sync with one another, and they got a lot accomplished. The fourth quadrant would be myself. We met at Bethlehem Park at Summit and Walks. We were able to clean the terrace, the park itself, all the way down to Glade Street, curbside, and terrace. It was a good time.
And you had some other folks that were city employees that came out. I think Mr. Guy was there, and if I'm not mistaken, Dominique, was it?
Dominique Gray, yeah, he was our runner. He was going back and forth with us. Mr. Guy was there with the dirt and mulch. We also had Councilwoman Kitchen out there. She was out there right alongside of us in the fourth quadrant. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of good work.
Well, shout out to our city employees and Councilwoman Kitchen for the time and effort that they volunteered, that all of you volunteered. That's outstanding. So if people want to sign up for future events, when are the next events?
The next events are June the 18th,
okay,
July the 16th, and August the 20th. There is a flyer that is circulating on every platform that you can think of.
Facebook, the website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's out there. Just go to the URL code, and you can actually go and sign up to work alongside of one of these quadrant captains in their quadrant. So if there's a specific area that you want to target, or you just like to work alongside of one of the captains, you can choose what quadrant and, sign up, come on out, and we'd love to have you.
Excellent. And do you have that URL handy for people to go to sign up?
Let's see if I can pull it up real quick.
Okay. Well, while you're looking for that, thank you, Ms. Ross, for compliments on the farmer's market. Pointed out for us to bring some flyers to the block party this weekend. The block party is at the US Cafe. And I believe that is on Saturday, is it? So if you could verify that, Ms. Ross. Thank you again from Ms. Sierra for pointing out that Ms. Davis was at the market. So appreciate that. And yes, it is beautiful, Ms. Ross, to see the community coming together and getting involved. I mean, that's the power of change, and that's what's going to take us to the next level, to raise Muskegon Heights to the new heights. So you still looking for that URL?
I'm all set and ready to go.
Okay.
If you're looking to volunteer and want to assist, you can go to bit.ly/ beautify the Heights 2022.
Okay. Beautify the Heights 2022.
Yes, sir.
2022. Excellent. So please check out that URL. And if you didn't catch it from this, it is on our website, is on Facebook. You check out the flyer, and it's on the flyer there where you can find where you can go to sign up. And if you're interested in making donations, what's the best way for them to If they know people that want to make donations, whether it be cash or in-kind services, where would they go for that, Mr. Davis?
We asked if you would reach out to us here at City Hall, and you know, inspections department or city manager's department, and we'll make sure that you're pointed in the right direction, because okay. we do need donations going forward in order to continue success throughout the summer.
So that number would be 231 at City Hall, 733-8870. Again, that's 231-733-8870. Give us a call, and we can get you connected to whichever direction, if it's a cash donation or if it's supplies of some sort. Either way, we'll get you set up to be able to bring that in as part of this community effort to beautify the Heights and to fight the blight.
Mr. Bell, if yes, I can make an appeal real quick. Mm-hmm. We need someone to step up to the plate on June the 18th and feed our volunteers. If someone's out there and it's on your heart to assist, we'd love for you to assist in that way.
Excellent. All right. I'm glad that you pointed that out. So that's a critical part, because you can't do much on an empty stomach. So we want to make sure that everybody has the fuel that they need in order to push through.
Absolutely.
And Ms. Ross did verify that the block party is from 12 to 6 on Saturday at the corner of Barney and Maffitt. And so just some other announcements that I want to remind everybody of. Juneteenth is around the corner. That's the 17th, 18th, and 19th. This is our new festival down at Mona Lake Park. It is the third annual fireworks show. The 17th, we're kicking off with a new partnership with the Muskegon Rotary Club with the Friday night mixer. So everybody is welcome to join us down at Mona Lake for the Rotary Mixer. You're going to have food, fun, beverages, live music. We'll have we're featuring reggae music for our mixer. This is to kick off our Juneteenth celebration, the second celebration since this has been an official federal holiday. So we're excited about that. And Saturday will be the second day of the celebration, which will include more food, music, vendors, resources for the kids, bounce houses, snow cones, face painting, all of that. So be
Calvin Davis
ready to bring down.
Everyone can see and hear you.
I don't know where that's coming from. Be ready to bring down your kids down to Mona Lake Park. So we're excited about that on the Saturday night. And then on Sunday, we will have some more live music, two bands, again, food, beverages, vendors. If you're interested in being a vendor, whether it's a food vendor, or if you're a nonprofit or organization that wants to put up a tent or a table, please get in contact with Jen Ross. Thanks to Jen Ross and Kaya Hunter for being the leads and organizers with the city on putting this together. I believe the email address is, I always get this wrong, Juneteenth Celebration MH at gmail.com. So you can reach out there if you're interested in becoming a vendor or setting up a table or a booth. So we've gone from a one-day celebration like we did last year to expanding that over 3 days, because this is the biggest Juneteenth event on the lakeshore. People will be coming from as far north as Ludington, south of Benton Harbor, and from Grand Rapids and maybe even Detroit to celebrate this Juneteenth with us. And a reminder that Sunday, Juneteenth, is the Father's Day. So we will be honoring and welcoming fathers on the 19th with our events and our fireworks show. And this year, if you enjoyed the fireworks show from last year, the fireworks vendor is giving us a new treat, which is fireworks to music. And so we're excited to see how that turns out. I don't know how much you can improve on the excellence last year with the fireworks, but we've got a lot in store for you this year, and this is the premier event for Juneteenth on the lakeshore. So in addition to the festival in the park in July, you now have Juneteenth in June. So we are bringing more fun and more entertainment to Muskegon Heights. And so we want to make sure that you're aware and that you have an opportunity to be part of these festivals and festivities. Also want to make a note on the 28th of May as well is the Purple Maze event, which is a scholarship event for Omega Psi Phi fraternity. Tickets are on sale. Please reach out to me if you are interested in getting tickets. Tickets are $50 a piece. So please reach out to me so that you can get your tickets, because that is another amazing event. So before I wrap it up here in the last couple of minutes, I want to make sure that I highlight some great members of our community and the business community. So our highlight for today includes Webb Chemical, right off of Sherman Street, Sherman and Jarman Street. So Webb Chemical has been a member of our community. They were founded in 1963 in Muskegon Heights. They're a full-service chemical industry, providing chemicals and excellent customer service to our customers. They are also one of our employers, one of our tax providers, and they are a great partner. They are one of the partners on the Juneteenth celebration, I believe, as well on the Festival in the Park celebration. So they have been outstanding community partners. They occupy several acres here in Muskegon Heights. The company has been 60 years old and situated on 20 acres here in Muskegon Heights and 5 acres in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They have 180,000 gallons of bulk tank storage and 100,000 square feet of warehousing. And they are ISO 9001, 14001, and 22,000 FSSC 22,000 certified. So it's an amazing and outstanding business here in Muskegon Heights. And I believe this past year has been one of the best years in the history of the company. And so we are proud to have them as strong partners in our community, a business that's committed to staying in Muskegon Heights. Next, I want to recognize Hall Sports Center, founded in 1972 in Muskegon Heights again, 1972. Hall Sports Center is your key to summer fun and one of West Michigan's largest and best boat dealerships. They offer convenient one-stop shop facility for all your boating needs, and new and used boat sales, dock and lift sales, parts, services, and inside heated storage for your boats. They are located at 759 East Broadway Avenue. Again, another excellent partner in our community. It's a top 100 dealer in the country, offering the best name brands in the marine industry: Bennington pontoons, Four Winds, Scarab, Wellcraft are some of brands that you can look forward to there. And so thank you again to Hall Sports for their commitment to our community and their partnership in our community. And lastly, I want to recognize RCP Marketing. And this is a company that I was not familiar with. They are located at 3044 Glade Street. They were founded in 1981. They located corporate offices in Muskegon Heights in 2015. So they've been here approximately 7 years. RCP Marketing joined the office in 2020. Marketing and advertising, they provide graphic design, marketing strategy, traditional advertising placement and production. Their mission is to provide a personalized approach to each client's marketing efforts that speaks to their ideal customers and their unique voice and creates the specific actions that they desire. They are equipped to provide their clients with strategic insights and marketing solutions. And these solutions are designed to address business challenges and accelerate growth. We thank RCP for making RCP Marketing for making Muskegon Heights their home. They have sister companies that they source additional services from, like One Digital, SourceOneDigital.com, and Trophy House Brands, custom apparel, branded promotional products and company. So These are our three small business or business highlights. Some of them aren't so small, but partners in our community. And for me, knowing what our businesses are and our business community is an important part of bringing back our community and reaching new heights. And sometimes you drive by these facilities and you have no idea what they do or how long they've been or why they're there. And so I think it's important for us to educate the community on these community business partners, because they're not only providing business services, but they're also providing jobs. And we should be aware of those opportunities in our community. So with that, I will wrap up the show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Ms. Ross has verified that the email address is Juneteenth, the Juneteenth Celebration MH at gmail.com. I think I had it right. Juneteenth Celebration M as in Mary, H as in Heights at gmail.com. And so if you have questions about the Juneteenth event, you want to participate, you want to volunteer, you want to donate, that's your point of contact. So with that said, thank you for joining us for Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the City Manager, City of Muskegon Heights. Thanks to the Mayor and Council for the opportunity for me to serve as your City Manager. Continue to be blessed. And remember, you can tune in here for all of the things that are important information-wise, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. Thanks and continue to be blessed. Mm-hmm.